Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad. For Religion Means Alive. Today's date is December 26, 2015. Can't believe it's almost the end of the year already. Mashallah, this year has really flown by. And it just seems like yesterday it was Ramadan, and, you know, we were preparing for Ramadan. It's just crazy how much time has flown by, and we're almost into a new year, 2016, inshallah. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to see another day, having another day to utilize this in worship of Him in Ibadah. Focusing on all things that are positive and good, and joining the good and forbidding the evil. This is something that we should all strive for daily. So, you know, I send out my duas for, you know, any Muslim that is sick, ill, hurting, in pain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you shifa, that you are healed from your illness, and makes this expiation of your sins. I mean, the next topic is going to be about financial planning, and our special guest and speaker is Meadows. Mr. Meadows, if you are on, just press 1 and I'll put you through. Okay, I'll wait for him to join. Okay, there you go. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening and being our special guest on Religion Means Alive. I appreciate your time that you have dedicated to, you know, speak with us tonight in regards to, you know, financial planning and a whole host of other things that, you know, we will cover tonight. I'm sure that we'll, right, you know, we'll cover tonight. So, you know, I always start off, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and where you're at in life so, you know, the callers can know what to expect as they're listening
to
our conversation.
Oh, man. You think we got enough time for that?
I got two hours scheduled.
I'm not going to try to put that much time in, but, you know, it is kind of lengthy. But the short version is this right here. My name is Damon Amin Meadows. In 1993, I was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. I have to date the largest drug organization out of South Philadelphia. When I got the life sentence in 1997, I won my first appeal. I got it down to 40 years, 480 months, which is still a life sentence, but with numbers. And then in 2002, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had blessed me with another appeal, which I got my sentence down to 292 months. That's a little over 24 years. So out of 24 years, I had to do 21 years and some change. I was a first-time offender, nonviolent, and the penal system is definitely a system that's not, if you don't cooperate with the government, they're going to nail you to the coffin, so to speak. Fate would, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man plans, but He is the best of planners. So, you know, them people said that I was going to die in prison, and I literally had the paperwork to prove what I'm saying, and my release date said death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chose me to come home in 2013, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But while I was incarcerated, I have become an Essence best-selling author. My first book is called Convict's Candy. It's an HIV awareness book about how guys go to prison and mess with homosexuals and transvestites and transsexuals, but they got wives and girlfriends and so forth and so on the street thinking they're still heterosexual. So I expose the reality of what goes on behind the walls, because they had a code that was what happens in prison stays in prison. But, you know, yours truly, I broke that code, because I have two beautiful daughters of my own, and 9 times out of 10, they might run into a guy that been incarcerated once in their life. And the subject has to be on the table, because African-American women, y'all are leading in the HIV people that's getting HIV in society today. So, I knew I had an obligation to bring awareness to my people, and inshallah to Allah, I did just that. My second book is called Boy Toy. It's about bipolar disorder, another thing that we sweep under the rug in the African-American community. And like I said, I'm not just going to be a writer who glorifies, the street life or whatever. I wanted to be an entertainer as well as an educator. So this is what I came up with my second book, because Dr. J's son, Julius Irvin, the basketball player, his son, Chael Irvin, is one of my close friends, and he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So I wrote the book. It's half fiction, half nonfiction, about he and our lifestyle. So this is what I accomplished when I was in prison. And when I came out of prison, the book game took a tremendous turn, because e-books came into effect, and e-books really diminished the monetary gain in the book industry. So me never having a job in my life, I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I vowed to my daughters that going back to prison wasn't an option. Tell you, it wasn't an option for me. So my wife, she introduced me to Karabars International. And Karabars International is an e-commerce company that allows the everyday person to save in currency-grade gold, 24-carat, 999% gold bullion. And this has literally changed my life, because now you talking about I have the same opportunity, and everyone on this call has the same opportunity to do as the wealthy have been doing for decades, meaning saving in physical 24-carat, 999% gold bullion. That's who Damon I Mean Metals is, a person that has an obligation to help the community that I once destroyed. Because I go out there every day, and I talk to the brothers and sisters who I once used to corrupt with drugs. I try to change their lives and bring them to a better life as I'm living today.
And that's what's most important, that, we change the path that we was once on,
Absolutely.
And the conversation we had, last night, preparing ourselves for the call today. We talked about a lot of those things and a lot of issues, and just how, the whole Islamic community has taken about face, and that it's not what it used to be. And,
right.
How can we, change it with by ourselves? And then, with, us strengthening our bondship for the community, how can we then help change the community? Because, if you don't just change yourself and your home, that's not readily affecting the community. So we have to, then implement that into what's going on out there. And we see what's going out there, and it's not nice. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
These are a lot of things we deal with.
It's funny. It's not funny you said that, but that's what the path I was on, because, when I came home from prison, I literally went down Germantown Masjid. I was so excited about the hair, about what's going on, and me living in Philadelphia, they call Philly baby Mecca. So the seeing a Muslim is like, it's odd to see a person that's not Muslim.
Right,
some of the disbelievers, they feel shame and not dressing and seeming like the Muslims, from wearing their pants above the ankles to the sisters carving up. So I'm proud to live in a city. And I'm from a city that, that the Muslim, our attire, our presence is so dominant that it really makes a difference in our society. So what I do frown upon is the reality that what comes with that. Because a lot of people, just because we got Shahada, don't mean that we have strong iman. And with strong iman means we stay away from the haram. So, when I came home, I literally seen Muslims on Channel 6 and getting locked up and, all types of crimes and that we don't even supposed to be involved in. So even to the point where, I come from Jumu'ah one day, and one of the sisters was literally in front of the Jamaat begging for food for her daughters. And I'm sitting like, wow, it blew my mind, because I literally wasn't expecting it. I'm talking about, to be honest with you, it literally blew my mind. So me coming home and having so high expectations you know, living in Baby Mecca from Philadelphia, I'm like, yo, something has to change. Something has to change. So my thing is, I say, you know what I mean? You're not going to be pointing fingers. What are you going to do to make the change? What are you going to add to the healing of our community? So when I went to, I came to Atlanta. I went to a Gold Rush. This is with the company I told you I'm affiliated with called Carabars International. I went to the Gold Rush, and listen to me, Kadera, I didn't see a Kimar. I didn't see a Niqab. I didn't see a Lihya. I didn't see, I'm talking about Kufi. I didn't see a turban. And I'm sitting in this room, and I'm talking about, I'm literally seeing people who make millions of dollars. I'm not talking about $20,000 a week, $10,000 a week, $5,000 a week, $1,000 a week. And I'm sitting like, I'm in a place where I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had me in this place at this time for a reason. Because we know we believe in the qadr of Allah. So I observed, I sucked it all in, I took it all in, I said, you know what I mean? You got an obligation to bring the awareness to the Jamaat. So I said, you know what? How am I going to do that? So I said, man, I know a lot of Muslims, alhamdulillah. So I said, first I got to reach out to the Muslims who I know personally. That means my family. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O you who believe, save yourself the offender from a fire whose fuel is men and stone. One of my good ayahs in the Quran. So therefore, I started with my unique family. I started my immediate family. So now I reached out to the Jamaat as a whole. So now I'm like, it's so big and so broad, this mission, because we don't come from saving. We have a problem with paying ourselves first. We'll pay every bill in the house. We'll do everything we want to do. But when it comes to saving, even if we save, we say, okay, I'm going to put this $300 up. Let a bill come. Or let somebody need some money. We're going to go right in that stash and use that $300. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the wealthy do. The wealthy don't do that. The wealthy, when they pay themselves, they don't even consider it as if they don't even have it.
Right.
So this is what we have to do. We have to understand that we pay ourselves first. This is what the wealthy do. And this is what I'm so hyped about Carabars International, because you're saving in the most precious metal on the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ali Imran, Ayah 14, Surah 3, Ayah 14, he say, continues to, one of the, amongst the things that man loves to accumulate is much gold and silk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's attesting that gold is wealth.
Right.
But the sad thing is, we done been living in dull kufr for so long, we think the almighty dollar is wealth. When in fact, if you do the history of the dollar, our ancestors never had no dollars. They had gold and silver. And I tell people how I break it down and make it real simple. I say, look at the old Western movies. When they was robbing them banks, what they was robbing them banks for? They was getting gold and silver about them banks. What was them pirates hijacking them boats for? They wasn't hijacking them boats for no paper. They was them pirates going on them boats for gold, for gold. But we don't see it. We look at the movies, we look at them just as that, movies. No, but understand that our ancestors, back in the day, because our president from the United States, President Nixon, he took us off the gold standard in 1971. That's when America started going down, because now they started printing money and they didn't have the gold to back it. That's
right.
Ties turn. And this is what I tell people. We have to learn the history, because if you don't know the history of wealth, you will still think that these dollars that people throwing up and folding and putting in our pockets are well, are worth something. But if you read it literally, it ain't nothing but a promissory note. It's an IOU piece of paper. So my thing is, we have to get back to learning and re-educating ourselves of what wealth is. If you look at anybody that has real money, their portfolio is diverse, meaning they got gold, silver, oil, and cash.
Absolutely.
This is what the wealthy have.
Because
they say gold is the money of kings. They say paper is the money of slaves. So we have to ask
ourselves.
That's
very true.
Absolutely. So we got to ask ourselves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we the best of mankind ever raised up, so therefore, We supposed to have the best of everything that comes in this life. So why is it strange for the Muslims, and we got to bend each other's arms and stuff, to understand we need gold? And I even simplify even more than that, Kadir. Because, you know, when you come to re-educating people, you got to give it to the simplest terms. And one of the simplest terms I use is bread. 40 years ago, a dollar bill and a 1 gram bar of gold was running roughly neck and neck. You can get with a dollar bill about 4 loaves of bread. With 1 gram of gold, you can get about 5 loaves of bread. So they was almost running neck and neck. Now let's fast forward 40 years to date. You and I know that a dollar bill can't even get you a loaf of bread, even if you go to the dollar store, because they're going to put tax on it, and it's going to be $1.07. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
but guess
right.
what? That 1 gram of gold will get you over 20 loaves of bread. So that lets you know that we don't have the understanding of purchasing power. This is the verbiage that we got to get in our family. Purchasing power. So the purchasing power of gold is always going to outweigh the dollar. So now, if you're going to save for your retirement, if you're going to save for your grandchildren, your children, your spouse, if you're going to save money, why would you save in something that's declining? See, we can have difference of opinions, but we can't have different facts. That's why I like to go with the facts. Because, you know, we can argue all day, this black and blue and blue. Okay, you say tomato, I say tomato. But when we go with the facts, there's no difference of opinion here.
No, I was going to say, and that's part of the reason what we talked about last night as far as, you know, knowing what the value of gold is over the dollar and also how these cellular gold businesses are popping up all over the place. You know, when we talked about that last night. For everybody who's listening, in our discussion, what we were talking about is a lot of people don't have the concept of the value of gold because paper can burn up. You know what I mean? And if you watch any of these movies like The Book of Eli and, you know, various movies that they show you what's going to happen in the future, there's not going to be any money. You're going to have to trade a physical item.
Absolutely.
For gold or,
precious,
you know,
metal. That's right.
Right. You know,
gold,
back in the day,
silver,
and
oil. That's right.
Right. And we know, like, back in African times, you know, pre-slavery, they used to take cowrie shells. A lot of people don't know the value of cowrie shells that a lot of people adorn their hair with. That was used as a form of currency because it was something tangible. And, you know, with these gold stores, what they're doing is they're telling people to come in and sell your gold, and we're going to give you the money at the highest price. So when you get the money at the highest price, if you look back at it, hey, what if the price of gold goes up? Well, they still got my gold, and
Absolutely.
I got the money that's still sitting at their price. So this is why we're doing this call, to educate the people to understand, don't let people take away your rights. Because, you know, if you don't have any gold, and God forbid the world start to end tomorrow, you don't have nothing to trade with.
It's funny you said that, Kadira, because it already started. So we have to understand it already started. Let's like I said, I love dealing with facts because we can't dispute facts. One of the facts is you mentioned the We Buy Gold stores. One thing we can't deny, that it's called legal confiscation. You got to ask yourself, why all of a sudden all these We Buy Gold stores just popping up? You just think these people just came out the blue and said, you know what, I want to help y'all out. Y'all bring me these earring bracelets that y'all don't even wear no more. I'm going to help y'all out. I'm just going to give y'all some money. Understand that it will never be the facts. The reality is they know what gold, it's called legal confiscation. They know what gold is. They know the value of gold. They know where gold is going. Let me tell you another fact what happened in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe in 2009, they was like America. They kept printing money, kept printing money, kept printing money. And in 2009, a bubble bust. And I'm talking about you can literally see them. You can Google this right now, that they have barrels of their money in the streets. Literally. And I'm talking about you couldn't get a gallon of milk with their money. You had to bring gold. You had to go to the rivers and get the gold in Zimbabwe to today. Now, guess what happened? Guess what just happened a couple of days ago? The Chinese currency in the country of China, when I tell you they're buying any gold they can get their hands on in the country, and a beautiful thing about it is they telling their citizens to save in gold. Because not only when your country is saving in gold, but when the citizens are saving in gold, it makes you that much powerful. So now, a few days ago, I think it was 3 days ago, if I'm not mistaken, that Zimbabwe, they just said, we made an allegiance with China to accept the Chinese yuan to be the currency of Zimbabwe. Let me tell y'all how powerful that is. That's a game changer, y'all. Listen, you can Google this right now. They got a thing called BRICS. BRICS is an acronym. It stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Let me tell y'all what this means, y'all. They have aligned themselves and said, we no longer have to do business with the United States in order to do business with each other. Because the law was a couple months ago that any country outside the United States that wanted to do business with each other, you have to take their money, transfer it to your U.S. dollar, then do business. So we was in the deal some type of way. But guess what, when BRICS came up, because they know the United States is not backed by any substantial precious metal anymore. So they said, we don't have to deal with the U.S. dollar anymore. So if Russia want to deal with India, we're going to deal straight with each other. If China want to deal with Africa, they're going to deal straight with Africa. We just seen that with Zimbabwe. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Like you said, it already happened. It's happening before our eyes, but we're so blinded by Kim Kardashian. We're so blinded by Love and Hip Hop. We're so blinded by what's going on in these reality shows that we're not understanding that we're in trouble.
Right.
Those of us who are not preparing ourselves. And this is how serious it is by saving in physical gold. Let me tell you another thing what happened. Goldman Sachs, they just saved 7.2 tons of physical gold. Everything I'm telling you right now, Kadira, I can tell you. 7.2 tons of physical gold. This is what I'm telling y'all. We have to be aware, and the Muslims we have to be prepared, and we have to understand. And one of the things that made me realize how serious it is, like I told you, the hadith when the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, among the signs of the last day is that gold and silver the wealth will return to gold and silver, and the wealth shall be with the shepherd. So therefore, here you got, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks as of his own desire, and his number of revelations revealed unto him. So here, this man said this over 1,400 years ago, that one of the signs of the last day, that the wealth will return to gold and silver. Look what's happening. It's returning to gold and silver. This company is so amazing because it gives the everyday working person, Khadija, Aisha, you name it, Abdullah, Malik, that work in Walmart, wash cars, whatever you do, you can get gold 1 gram at a time. No company in the world is doing what Karabars International is allowing the Muslims to do, because we can save 1 gram bar, 2.5 gram bars, and 5 gram bars, and it will be delivered to your door by FedEx. We deal with one deliverer, FedEx, another billion-dollar company. You know that FedEx would not align themselves with a company unless they did a thorough investigation. So this is what I love about this company. And listen, not only Kadira, do FedEx have a bond of a contract with Karabars International, they don't bring their trucks to the headquarters of Karabars International and then load the gold and then bring it to us. No. They literally have a headquarters inside our headquarters. Listen, Stuttgart, Germany, that's where Karabars International is headquarters. It's in Stuttgart, Germany. And Stuttgart, Germany is like the Beverly Hills of Germany. And let me tell you about the laws in Germany. They're very strict. So not only do Carabars International allow FedEx to have a headquarters inside of there, inside of the headquarters of Carabar. That is so huge. Because name one company, I dare anybody on this call, name one company that has an inside office with FedEx. There is none. So it solidifies the company in itself. So another thing I wanted to make sure everybody understands that we have sovereign gold. For those who don't know, understand what sovereign gold is, if you buy gold from the U.S., like them infomercials that come on at night, or you go to these little shops, you can buy an ounce of gold or whatever, guess what? They want your Social Security number. They want to know where everything at. Because guess what? You're only the bearer of the gold. You're not the owner. By the Constitution of the United States, if you buy gold from a U.S. mint, you are only the bearer of the gold. You are not the owner of the gold. The gold with my company, Carabars International, that I'm affiliated with, is sovereign gold. It's not. This gold does not belong to a country or a state. It belongs to the person who purchases it. That is a game changer.
And that's
changer
important.
In this
yeah, that's important. What? That's important.
That's a
that's
game
really
changer.
Important.
And this
that's
is what
really
I need
important.
Everybody
and,
to understand.
Oh, you know what? Talk about what you told me about the stamps last night so people can understand what you mean by sovereign gold so they can understand that because a lot of people don't get that concept, okay, I got gold, but what does sovereign gold mean? You know, when we talked about the
sovereign
stamps.
Sovereign gold means this. Back in the day, I know we heard of the name Rockefellers, Rothschilds. These are the ultra wealthy in the United States. When the United States in the Great Depression, when they started confiscating physical gold and silver from the citizens of the United States, they literally went to your house and confiscated the gold. Literally. You can Google this as well. Carabars International Gold does not belong to the U.S. First of all, the company is not even in the United States. And they don't have no pact with the United States. And the United States don't even know you got the gold. That's another beautiful thing about Carabars International. This gold right here is unconfiscational, meaning that it belongs to the owner. You exchange your dollars for that gold. Like, I don't sell gold. I don't buy gold. I don't sell gold. I exchange my money that I'm saving for my grandchildren, for my retirement, I'm saving in physical gold, the gold that's delivered to me, and I have some on my offshore account. Carabars International, they give you a free offshore account. Let me tell you how big an offshore account is. Mitt Romney, he was running for president against Obama one time. Mitt Romney is a multimillionaire. One of the things that they was mad at Mitt Romney about is that he didn't tell him how much he was worth in his offshore account. You know what Mitt Romney said, Kadir? He said, by law, I don't have to reveal what's in my offshore account. See, we don't understand it because we don't get this financial education in our family, majority of
absolutely
us.
Absolutely.
We don't know the benefit of having an offshore account. When you have an offshore account, it's protection. That's why when you see the movies when they either steal all that money and ship it overseas to an offshore account, know why? Because it's untraceable.
Right.
You're protected by the law because now it's not governed under United States law. We got a lot to learn. That's why I say we got to re-educate our people. You got to but let me tell you, Kadir, another thing. This is, and I want to reel every Muslim on this call. One of the major things that I love about Carabars International that it allows us to get away from one of the major sins is riba, usury. Dealing with this bank system, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he raised war on the one who is involved with riba.
Right.
Let me tell you how deep what the Prophet said. He said the lessest form of riba is equal to having sex with your mother. I didn't say this.
Yeah. Right.
The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said this. He said the least form of riba is equal to having sex with your mother. That's we can't even think about that because it's distasteful. But it lets you know how severe the sin is.
So now when you're talking about Cab Bars International allows you to save your money when you ain't even got to deal with the bank system. Every Muslim on this call is supposed to be trying to open a free gold savings account right after this call. Just on that
right.
alone. Because know why? Cab Bars International allows you to have a prepaid MasterCard. Now, let me tell you something. MasterCard is another billion-dollar company. Now, you know and I know that MasterCard is not going to align themselves with a company that they ain't do due diligence homework on, right or wrong.
Right.
So, therefore, not only FedEx, but MasterCard has also aligned themselves with this company, Cab Bars International. So now, if you take the affiliate approach, which is the affiliate approach with Cab Bars International is, if you open a free gold savings account and you share this information with other people, Cab Bars International is going to pay you healthy for doing so. So now you get paid on your prepaid MasterCard. Let me tell you how amazing this is. It's a global private issue MasterCard. You can't get this MasterCard unless you are affiliated with Cab Bars International. Anywhere you swipe in the world, it turns to the currency of that country. This
okay.
joint is this. Listen, this when
yeah,
I tell you this MasterCard, it's beyond. It's a they like 12 years ahead of the game. That when that, you see how everybody, I'm going to give you a prime example. They just sent me a letter in the mail from Bank of America when I used to bank with Bank of America saying your car has been compromised. So they said, here goes the new chip car. They didn't have the decency
right.
to tell the truth that y'all was just getting hit to the currency converter chip and y'all just sending me a new car. Y'all had to lie and say
right.
my car is seemingly was being compromised. No,
right.
y'all just got hit with the currency converter chip. You know what I mean?
And you know,
but that's what,
right, and that's a big issue right there with that because the UK didn't have the chip, and they were saying this is how we could prevent people from using the strip to
Absolutely.
Rip y'all off and to keep y'all from. The UK didn't have this, and they told the United States, all you got to do is convert over to the chip, and all this fraudulent activity that takes place
will be no more.
As people. It would be no more. So what does that tell
Absolutely.
You? The companies wanted this fraud. They wanted to put you in these situations where you would be responsible for that money. So it's
to stay
you know,
in debt.
People don't pay attention to that. Yep.
It's to stay
Absolutely.
In debt. Everything, this country, it drives off of our debt. And sadly, the poor people debt. You see what I'm saying? So they drive off of us staying in debt. I looked at this holiday that just passed. It was so saddened that the same people that 2 weeks ago just said they don't got no money sacrificed and went into more debt for emotions, for
yep.
desires. That's all it says. Shaitan played trick on your emotions and your desire, knowing you can't afford that $350 Xbox that ain't even gonna be played with 90 days after today. But you just thought, you know, you just Shaitan played with your emotions and then tricked you. You done went more debt. Your bills is late. Now your rent is late. Your car note is late. All this, so you wanted to see this temporary pleasure. This is the trick.
Right.
Shaitan vowed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will come in front of them, behind them, on the side of them, to send them to the fire. See, we don't understand.
Right.
One thing about our love about this beautiful deen, all we got to do is remember what the Rasulullah revealed to us. It's already laid out. It's already laid
yep.
out. And this is why I go so hard with Cab Bars International, because it don't contradict Islam.
Right.
We went to the masjid up here in Atlanta, masjid at Tawheed. We talked to the brother Abu Muhammad. We asked him about this. You know, I want to make sure everything is halal.
Right.
You
right,
see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, alhamdulillah. They said, brother, the company is Tawheed. Alhamdulillah. I really went hard after that. So, you know what I mean? I mean, seriously.
Right.
Because
right.
now, you know, because they attached to the ulema. You see what I'm saying? Because
right.
I want to make sure that my I's is dotted and my T's is crossed. You see what I'm saying? When I put my name
right.
on something, I want to, because not only, it's not just about money right now. It's about really trying to love for my brother and sister what I love for myself. because I really get tired of, you know, we got the kufar putting it every little movie come out, Allahu Akbar, they blowing up all this food, like that's got part of Islam.
Right.
That has nothing to do with Islam.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So they always looking at us on a negative aspect, but that's the trick of the kufar. We already know that. So we don't even get mad at that stuff, because that's what they, even though they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's still going to make us prosperous in the land. So we already got the promises true. We don't even have to get mad about that. But we just got to do our part to stand
right.
up as true Muslims and believe in Allah and his messenger. So this is why I like aligning myself with sisters like you, who really, I got a sincere attitude and trying to do things feasibly live to help the Jamaat as a whole. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is what we got to
right.
do. We Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we uliya of one another. We friends, protectors, and providers of one another. We got to understand.
Right.
This is fact. When we tell them we believe in Allah and his messenger, we got to live accordingly. Nobody is perfect. We know that. That's obvious. But the reality is we got to strive each and every day. This is what we got the five salat for. You commit a sin between Dhuhr and Asr, Asr wipes it out. You commit a sin between Asr and Maghrib, Maghrib wipes it out. You between and then Maghrib and Isha and so forth and so on, it wipes it out. So you go to bed, you sin free, inshallah. You know what I mean? This is the beauty about it.
Yep.
This is the beauty about Islam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people don't get it, though, you know.
I mean, you know, we got to keep on, like I told you yesterday, we gotta forgive the people and understand that we really have to re-educate our people, because living in Dhuhr Kufr is hard. I'm not going to say it and lie to you. Living with everything
right.
around us is almost against what we stand for, especially we come from Dhuhr Kufr and we revert back to Islam and we take Shahada and, you know, come back to the national inclination or worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's hard because we dealing with a lot of baggage. So sometimes
right.
we don't give each other the benefit of the doubt. It's easy to point the finger. Remember I told you when I looked and seen the sister at the masjid, I didn't say, man, what the brothers, they ain't doing that for the sisters. I ain't do that.
Right.
I said, what is Amin going to do to make a change? We got to hold ourselves accountable, each and every one of us, because we are one body. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said? The Muslim is one body. When one part hurt, the whole body stays up.
Right.
We one body. See, once we really understand and go by that, we'll realize we ain't going to be laughing at the sisters. We ain't going to be laughing at the brothers. We see a weakness, we strengthen it. We don't talk about, oh, that sister, she don't wear all black. I ain't messing with her. No, where is that in Islam?
Right.
Where is that in Islam? You won't see none of the message of Allah wives saying that about the sister. It was making dua about for each other.
Right.
You ain't see none of the sahabas doing that to each other. If a brother have a weakness, he don't wear the lick yet. We making dua for each other. Inshallah, Aki, Allah stripping you wear the beautiful lick yet.
Right.
So you'll grow to love it. But what we do today, we think we all high and mighty. That's not Islam.
Nope.
That's not Islam.
Not at all.
So it's not at all. Like you said, so that's why I said I love linking up with you, because we got an obligation, and the majority of the times that what happened is, we need finances. And when
right.
I tell you this opportunity right here with Karabars International for the Muslims to save in gold, let me tell you another thing these kufar are doing down here. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're going to these mega churches, and they're
mm-hmm.
getting with the pastor and the first lady, and they're saying, we're going to help you prepare your community for the wealth transfer. And the wealth transfer they're talking about is Yusuf in the Bible. When Yusuf stored all the grain, and the people was like, what you saving all this grain for? We got all this grain that's available for everybody. But then when the famine hit, Yusuf became a king because ain't nobody had grain but him. So now they using that, and they saying, right now, the dollar is going down. Save as much gold as you can to prepare for the famine. Guess
right.
what they doing? So now they signing up. The preacher and his wife, the leadership, the membership, you know, the congregation, deacons and all of those stuff, and then they tell the congregation to save in gold. So now when the congregation is saving gold and the leader saving gold and the pastor saving gold and everybody saving gold, they helping their church raise money. So
right.
my thing is, why the Muslims can't take the same principle and do the same thing? So now we ain't going to have no masjids with the sister's bathroom ain't finished, or half the masjid ain't finished, or half the roof ain't finished. No, because now you're saving your own money, and you're still
right.
helping the Jemadah. Think about what I'm saying. When you save your own money, you still helping the masjid. That is an amazing opportunity. Because
absolutely.
Right now, you see what I'm saying, Kadir? Because
yep.
right now, the reality is people going to protect their household first. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that. Save yourself and your family from a fire as fuel as men and soul. So you protect your household. But now, this company allows you to save your own money in gold, and you'll still be able to help our masjid. That is a beautiful
right.
thing. So this is why we have to be diligent and learn about how Karabars work, because there's so many ways that we can benefit the Jamaat. So now you're talking about protecting your wealth and getting better cop. That's a win-win.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? This is why I'm hyped. This is why I came up with the Sunday call. I do a Sunday call for real. I do a Sunday call
right.
at 8 o'clock geared to the Muslims to let us know that how we can protect ourselves by saving in gold and still benefit the Jamaat. Because when
right.
we understand that, you mean to tell me, I mean, that if I save my own money in gold, I can still get some blessings because the masjid is still benefit? Absolutely. And I can show you how.
And see, that's the point where a lot of people don't understand that when we deal with banks deal in interest, and even with that interest, that is haram because it's riba. You can't
Absolutely.
Use it. Like when you obtain that interest on your account for saving money in that account, you get no blessings for that. So, I mean, when
not
you donate that in charity, if you give it away in charity, you don't get not
you
one.
You ain't get no better
cut
for that. No, sir.
You know what
not
I mean?
A,
so
no
this is very important for people to understand, because if you pay attention and you study and understand the religion of Islam, even in death, if you help contribute to the building of a masjid, you
Woo.
Still get barakat while you're in the grave. So, you know,
give it to
I'm just saying.
Give it
I'm
to
just
them.
Saying. I'm just saying. I'm
Listen,
just saying.
That's one of the
you
ongoing
know?
Charities. That man, that is a
absolutely.
Man. We need that. That's one of the ongoing charities when our deeds come to an end. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala message say, whoever helps build the house of Allah, build the masjid in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds someone in heaven, in Jannah. So we have to understand, these is the words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you know Muhammad speaks none of his own desire. So now, this is good money. So we've got to think about everybody on this call. We all know what we do in the dark. You know and I know we need as many blessings as we can get our hands on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just being real. Absolutely. So my
right.
thing is, this is why I have a passion for helping my community. Because I did a lot of wrong in the community. The thing
right.
is, I'm not trying to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my deeds. I'm trying to have some deeds that's going to be a better God for me when mine's come to an end on this physical earth. Because one thing, the only fact that we got on this call right here is that each and every one of us is going to die. So my thing is, I'm trying to do as much good as I can. So Damon, I mean Meadows, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds on the Yamal Qiyamah. That's my
yes,
main
sure.
concern. You know what I mean? Inshallah ta'ala. That's
right.
my main concern. Now, if I can benefit in this life and live a good life, absolutely I want to. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And I tell brother, stop thinking it's about incense and oils and you still pious. No. That's not Islam either. A lot of the Sahabas
nope.
was wealthy. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You do the history
yep.
of the Sahaba. You know what I mean? Even our mother Khadija was wealthy. She just saved,
yep.
gave our money to Islam because it was needed. But don't get it twisted.
Absolutely.
The Prophet said, well, something, he worked for Khadija. That's how she learned about his characteristics to ask him to marry her.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Abu Bakr was wealthy. Umar was wealthy. So we got to understand, know that you don't have to just, oh, alhamdulillah, I just got the bare necessities. Alhamdulillah, you choose to live like that, that's for you. But don't act like
right.
that's how the Muslim's supposed to live. The Prophet said
right.
every man should have his share in his doom. This ain't coming from me. This is what the best of Allah said. You see what I'm saying? We don't live just for the dunya, but every man shall have his share in the doom. You see what I'm saying? So this is why we got to have balance. That's why I love this deen so much. Because it's balance, man. It's
right.
balance.
We don't go too extreme. We don't go to the left. You know what I mean? We stay
right
in the middle course, man. We stay right on the middle course. But I'm so excited. I'm so thankful for you to have me on this call, because this subject about financial stability needs to be on the tongue of the Muslims. Because another thing that saddened me, Kadira, is that the roles have literally reversed in the marriages with the Muslims. I'm not saying all the brothers, because there's some brothers that's holding their family
down. I did a whole show on this, role reversal and how, and, you know, people want to attack me and get mad at me because I'm revealing the truth. And you can't sugarcoat the truth. I'm just saying, like, you know, I put it out there. If a man, in Surah An-Nisa 4:4, it says that a man has a degree over the woman because he spends of his wealth. And then you got brothers arguing with me saying, oh, marriage ain't about money. Yes, it is, because the law said it is. If he ain't spending of his wealth, who is he? Who is he? No man, no woman, no woman is going to respect a man that she's taking care of. She's going to treat that man like her son and treat him like somebody who does not deserve no respect. Why? Because that is not in the natural nature of a woman to take care of a man. And you got these Muslims who want to argue with me about having 3-4 wives, and they all on welfare, and you ain't taking care of none of them. I mean,
I'm gonna leave that
because, you know, that's a whole other
look,
show.
You got a little hype too. Look, you got your little bag on that one.
Look, I always do, because you know what?
Calm down, sis. I got you.
Look, this is how I feel, and people know I'm passionate about this. I want for my sister what I want for myself. If I'm not going to tolerate that from nobody, I don't want you tolerating that from nobody, because that's not Islam. That's some backhood nigga stuff that they trying to pull over on you and sugarcoat it with Islam and have you bamboozled thinking it's the hot. No, pass me with that. You can go ahead. I'm still listening. I'm a chill on that one, because, you know, that's my platform right there. People
look,
know that.
You really got your bag on that show?
No, I'm about that life.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Lalami. But you are absolutely right. When it comes to, that's not the natural inclination of a man when it comes to his marriage. You know, but we do have, according to the Rasulullah, that if a brother is striving, and he's striving to do the right thing in his household, it is incumbent upon his wife to understand that that's still your brother in Islam. So if you see your brother in Islam just going, you know, striving, and he's really sincerely trying to get a job, trying to do the right thing, and you are financially, you have to understand that you can help your brother. But the women, do they have to? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, it's so strong in Islam that the women don't have to come out their pocket for nothing.
Absolutely.
This is according to what the lawless messengers say. Like, even if he don't have it, you don't have to come out your pocket for anything. But understanding the haq and understanding this your brother, understand that you love this man, that you don't want to put the burden on this brother. So that's why Islam is a balance, that the sister will understand that, oh, I'm going to help my husband. He having a little struggle. He trying to do that. So she would, you know, inshallah to Allah, she would help her husband out to try to get him there. But no, I don't, you know, in the scholars of Islam, we had plenty of talks about that. Dawu Adib, they all had all types of lectures about the role reversal. And I'm talking about, it's sad because, like you said, some brothers use that to their advantage, and this is what makes it haram. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, alhamdulillah that you expose it. Some, you got to think, a lot of brothers and sisters are not going to like a sister exposing some things, but a brother who learns that know the basics of the deen, you're going to face the facts even if it's against yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Even if it's against yourself, you can be like, alhamdulillah, the sister is right. Because, especially coming from where we come from, we do see a lot of that. You're talking about brothers who got 2 and 3 wives, and all of them on Section 8, and all of them getting food stamps, and he's just kicking back, talking about, alhamdulillah, I'm going to barbershop and study with the brothers. No. You know what I'm saying? That's, where they do that at? Where they do that at? So, you know, we definitely going to reveal and call a spade a spade, and this is why I have Islamic cause, because we, and you know what? What I don't want, and I've seen, that sometimes it deters sisters away from Islam. It deters people away from Islam. So that's why I say we have to reveal the truth, even when it's against ourselves, because we don't want the representation of Islam to be tainted. You see what I'm saying? So brothers and sisters got to understand that they, believe me, the kuffar watch the Muslims. They want to see, sometimes to the fact where they know more than what you're supposed to be doing than what you know. You see what I'm saying?
Don't they? They sure do.
I'm going to give you a prime example. I was in prison. And some of the brothers, you know, they was weak during the month of Ramadan, and they would be eating. And the kuffar was, they couldn't wait. So, sound like a brother. You know, you're supposed to be fast. It's Ramadan. You ain't Ramadan. That's one of the things to say. You ain't Ramadan. Like, I should tell brother, that ain't no word. You Ramadan. What are you talking about? But they knew that this man ain't supposed to been eating or drinking. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So even though some of them had ill intentions that they just wanted to expose the Muslim, some of them was like, man, if I wanted to be a Muslim, I wouldn't be that type of Muslim. You don't want
right.
that. That was one of my biggest things when I was in prison. I didn't want to be an example that would deter somebody from Islam. And this
right.
is why we always got to be careful about our actions around people. We don't do things for the sake of people. No, don't get my words wrong at all. But the reality is we have to understand that your example could be the decision for somebody coming to Islam or somebody leaving Islam.
And you know what? I spoke on that about a call. Like you bringing up all my past topics that I talked about, and it's ironic, you know. And you know what? Alhamdulillah, because this is from a brother's perspective. You know, like a lot of people get on me, like, "Oh, you too harsh." No, I'm not sugarcoating Islam for y'all. I'm giving it to you how it's supposed to be and how it should be practiced. You know, Islam is perfect. Muslims are not. And if we continue
Absolutely.
To let these Muslims with these niggerly behaviors keep corrupting the religion, this is why
you gotta have patience with them, though, because there
right.
they might not know. Look, you know,
they know better. They know better. I ain't giving you 79 excuses. I ain't doing it.
I'm not doing it because you know better.
But you know, it's sad that, you know, people don't really want to grasp the real concept of how you could be held accountable for someone leaving Islam. You know, like, you know, your limbs is
that's
going to be down to get you on the day
man,
of judgment.
You,
and when you
so
do
serious,
these things,
man.
And people don't understand, like, they take it for a joke. You bring these sisters into Islam, you know, from a state of kufr, they don't know nothing, and then you do something foolish, and them not having a strong faith in Islam or a strong foothold because you didn't teach them, you just gave them an A-line overgarment and a hijab to put on and telling them now they Muslim, but you ain't teaching them nothing. And then, you know, the situation goes sour, and they right back out of the hijab. If you would have been more delicate with them and taught them what the religion is, maybe, mashallah, they might have stayed within the religion. But
you know what?
Them
you know what? And alhamdulillah, you definitely hit the nail on the head. But let me tell you something. This is something I've seen in prison. And it's sad because now we're going on a whole other thing, but it has to be talked about since you talked about it, that brothers in prison, they learn the long surahs. They learn the inshallah, mashallah, jazakallah, khair, all that. Those. They learn all that. But they miss the aqidah.
Yeah.
They miss
yep.
the basics of learning the aqidah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they miss it. So now, you can't even explain the affirmation and the negation of the shahada.
Right.
So now we talk about the three aspects of tawheed. I'm gonna tell you. This is a story that wallahi, and I don't even like using the wallahi, but I'm let you know how serious it is. We in Aqidah class, imam. Ask a question. Don't laugh out there. He asked a question. What does Aqidah mean? You know what one of the brothers said? He got into a kung fu position and said, "Yeah."
No.
Listen. Listen to me.
No.
Listen to me. He got into a kung fu. Listen. Well, I just told you what I said. He got into a kung fu position. And moved his hand like he was doing a kung fu chop. Man, when you talking about, I could,
But listen, I was mad. I wasn't rapping at the time.
I know.
No,
I
listen,
know.
I was so mad.
Like, what?
Because I'm,
man.
at the time I'm the rights of education. So I'm talking about I'm mad when I wanted to do something to him, and I know I was wrong, but he did it, and it made the weaker Muslims start laughing. I was
right.
so mad
right.
because I said, you don't even understand your actions, man. You should have just said, man, I don't know. You know, God darn well, it ain't no karate stuff. You know, I was so mad. But this is it proved the point, and I always tell a story because it proves the point that we don't have the proper education. So now we
right.
know that we don't supposed to eat pork. We know that the sister's supposed to wear the hijab. We know all the laws. So now
mm-hmm.
when we get this sister that believe in us, that she love us so much she'd do anything for us. That's why I love the sisters. I ain't gonna lie. I love the sisters, man, because when they love somebody, they go, no, for real. Y'all gonna believe in this brother. Y'all gonna give us the benefit of the doubt. Y'all gonna hold us down. But y'all gotta pick the right brothers.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You got some brothers, they don't know the whole salat, Arabic and English.
Yeah.
They don't know the tashahud. They say it so fast, they butcher it up. They don't know explain, not just say the five pillars, explain that. So when you talk
mm-hmm.
about La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, what's the negation and what's the affirmation of La ilaha illallah?
Right.
You don't know one aspect is the negation and the other aspect is the affirmation. So when brothers can't explain these simple things, know that we have a problem. So that's what
mm-hmm.
you're going to get when the sisters love them and they cover. Then when they're not with that brother, guess what's going to happen? They're going to leave Islam.
Yeah,
because they didn't get Islam, they got his slam. They
yep.
got his version
yep.
of Islam. You see what I'm saying?
No.
So we
yeah.
we got a lot of work to do, Kadir. We got a lot of work to do. But these conversations has to be talked about. So brothers and sisters should be embracing you because you want better for the sisters. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you just gotta be a little bit more delicate on the brothers.
You know what? It's not that. It's just that I know y'all know better. And see, it's Muslims that I know that really don't know. But the brothers who be trying to kick this stuff, y'all definitely know better. And I don't go easy on them. And then they be in my inbox like, oh. You need to, no, I don't need to read nothing because I know what I read and I know what it says and I don't need to pick this up. I mean, I'm serious. Like, you're not your own sheikhs telling y'all not to do certain things. Like, I follow the Salafi Dawah and that's not, so, people know I follow that. And I'm like, okay, so Sheikh Falzon said this. So y'all going to dispute with him. When he said this, here's where you can find it. And they still want
right.
to debate with. So I'm coming
right.
with, our sound scholars. I'm not coming with, Sheikh so-and-so from
no milkshake.
Wherever.
You ain't coming with no hula hoop
right.
shakes, huh? Sheikh Saeed Bricks, huh?
Right. Like, I'm talking about
yeah.
somebody who has studied the feet for years, almost all of their lifetime, and here you only been studying, 2 years? How you going to say you know better than him? And I'm not making it
right.
up, and I'm not using my own kalam. I'm taking it directly from them. And they still
right.
want to say I'm wrong. That's where I come in with the problem. And this is where, just black people on a whole have the problem of listening to something that's going to be beneficial for them. This is not just going to be beneficial for you now. This is going to be beneficial for you in the future, inshallah. You see what I'm saying? They don't want to listen, and they don't want to take. But then as soon as they see that we're doing something different and that people are following it, then they want to jump on the bandwagon. And sometimes it's too
right.
late for that. And, we're just trying to educate the people. We're not
right.
trying to cause y'all no harm. We're trying to educate y'all and get y'all hip to what people been doing. Been doing
we
out
gotta
here
have,
in the world.
We gotta
you
have,
know what I mean?
Got to have a little patience with the brothers, though. And let me tell you something, another thing. The brothers... sometimes we hard-headed. We don't like taking it from the sister. You know what I mean? But that is not
right,
Islam.
Right.
Because if you think about when I did the history of Aisha, radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers,
right.
she was the second on knowing the most hadith among the Sahabas. So
absolutely,
we got our deen from a woman. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And when you realize that we got our deen from the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, it humbles you. Because now,
yep,
you ain't got, and it was, see, people don't even know that it was female scholars. And we have to understand, this
absolutely
is a fact. You know what I mean? So don't underestimate the knowledge of the sisters. You know what
right
I mean? We just know the sisters can't literally teach the brothers. We know that, but we can learn from the sisters, no doubt about it. So we get it mixed up. And this comes
yep
with it also comes with educating yourself about the deen of Allah. You know, so this is why
absolutely
I say you got to have balance. You know what I mean? All of us got to have balance, man. And that's why I say the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know in Islam. That's what this is my understanding of Islam. The more I learn, the more I realize, man, you don't know nothing. You know what I mean? Because
true.
That's real. That is the truth. You know, because, man, when I got out here, like, I really thought I was all right when I came home. I got out here and started sitting with the Taliban. I'm like, you know, how many books my memory? I think I'm sharp.
Right?
I thought I was all right. I got the, you know, the Sa'i Center by memory. I'm saying, like, what?
You like, all right, I'm
so,
supposed to sit down now.
I calm myself right on down. Go ahead with that jailhouse stuff. I calm myself right on down and got right in the ranks and sat down to learn. I mean, but it really humbles you. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because, man, you got to realize, man, start realizing if they know that, and they only the students of knowledge, imagine what the shuyuk know.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're talking, oh, man, I'm talking about, man, the lost knowledge. When you, man, this deen is so beautiful that you realize, like, man, it's a blessing to be a baby. Because now you ain't even held
yep
accountable for all the stuff that you don't know. And that's what
right
I'm telling people. You better be happy that you don't know what you think you know. Because everything
right
when you know something, you'll be held accountable for. You know what I mean?
Right.
So a person that understands Islam, you better stay humble. Because that arrogance, Shaitan was arrogant. People think that Shaitan didn't have knowledge. Shaitan knew Allah. He know Allah. Don't get it twisted. That's why on Yom Kiyamah, he going to say, y'all ain't follow me. I ain't tell y'all follow me.
Yep.
I ain't make you do nothing.
Yep.
I ain't make you do
yep
nothing. All I did was whisper. You chose that yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when we learn this beautiful thing, you'd be like, man, this thing's serious. You know what I mean? So my thing
yeah
is out there, we got an obligation. We got an obligation to get ourselves out of the financial rut that we in as a
right
community. But first we got to get out of financial rut as individuals. You feel what I'm saying? So now you
yep
don't have to worry about the roles being reversed because the Muslim men are stable enough to take care of the household. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
The Muslim men, we stand up. We got our own businesses. We don't have. Let me tell you what's a scary thing right now, especially in this Kufar society. Homosexuality is so rapid right now that they did something with the church. And I said, I pray to Allah, how they don't spill over to Islam. They said if they don't marry the man and man and the women and women in the churches, they're going to take away their nonprofit status, their 501c.
Yep. Yep. And
now
I
listen
talked about that. See, you're talking about everything I already covered. Alhamdulillah. Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish
your
that one.
Because that's scary. Because you could get a weak Muslim that do the same thing and cause a whole bunch of fitna where the masjid lose its 501c status. You see what I'm saying?
You know what? Speaking on that with the 501c, and this is what I told people a long time ago, but people don't listen to me. So since the brother said it, maybe y'all start to believe it. Because, you know, like, belief comes in numbers. You need for black people to believe stuff, they need a whole bunch of people. I told people this a long time ago. Churches are not churches. This is why they're not allowed to preach that fire and brimstone. And I grew up in the church. They're not allowed to preach
right
that fire and brimstone because that is a clause in the 501c that they can't
do it. Oh, yeah.
They're
going to take that right away from
them. And I told them, I said, if you don't believe me, go to any of these mega churches and look at their website and go to the
right
bottom of the page to find out about what the, you know, church is about and their information. I said, I guarantee
right
you, it will say LLC. It will say
exactly
Inc. It will be a corporation. I said, when you have a church with those legal terminologies attached to it, and you go and read what a true nonprofit does, like people just think, oh, it's a nonprofit, I don't have to pay
tax.
They
control
that
joint.
Look, a true 501c entails. Y'all would be sick to your stomach if y'all really knew what it was. And this is why a lot of these churches, they have now become businesses, and they can't preach that fire and brimstone. It's all about control, like you said. Like, you know, I had to put that in there.
I'm loving what you said, because that lets you know we have to be self-sufficient. And this is what I love about saving in gold. It allows us to be self-sufficient. So now if we got a community that's saving in gold, and we saving in gold under the MassJizz link, meaning every time we save in gold, the MassJizz gets benefit from it. That means the MassJizz is self-sufficient. We don't got to worry about getting grants. We don't worry about them making us, we can only say certain things. You know what I mean? Now we compromise the dean of a law because we don't want to mess up that grant money. Or we don't want, no. We had the, man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he's our Razak. You see what I'm saying? Allah is the provider and protector. So now, this is what we have to understand. The masses that's not worried about that 501c3, we got to support them. You know what I'm saying? We got to understand that when we saving in gold, we going to increase the stability of the masses and the stability of the followers. So now, we don't got to compromise our cook bars. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So let's understand that we have to be self-sufficient. That's the most important thing. When you hear the brothers at the Friday say, you know, the masjid is ran by the believers. We got to pay water bill. We got to pay light bill. That's a fact.
Right.
But this is what I love. This is what I love about Karabars International is, again, when you save your own money in gold under the masjid's link, meaning you open a free gold savings account under the masjid, that means every time you save your own money, you're going to benefit the masjid. On top of whatever you're going to get a masjid, that's how we can get self-sufficient. This is what they're doing out here in Atlanta, Kadera. They doing it with these mega churches. They raising money for these mega churches, making these churches self-sufficient. These dudes down here got planes, man. These pimped out dudes down this choke, they got Rolls Royce. I'm looking at this like crazy. Man, but that's a whole other conversation. But anyhow,
right.
You know what I mean? But we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to the truth. So therefore, when we got the truth, we got to speak on the truth. You know, alhamdulillah, we had a lot of fun on this call, and I like it, alhamdulillah, because we're vibing. But the reality is the Muslims are in a sad state when it comes to financial stability. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we see the brothers and sisters getting locked up. Man, women going to prison is an all-time high right now.
Yeah.
20 years ago, 10 years ago, you wouldn't even see the women going to prison in droves like they're doing right now. So now all this is a reason. Guess what? It's a test of money. So now if I can help the average Muslim bring in $500 a week, that'll make a tremendous change in their life.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? If I can help the
Muslim
get and this is what we're talking about. It can be, it can be so much more, but $500 a week will make a tremendous change in the lives of every Muslim on this call. This is not even hard to do, especially with us, because we nationally hustlers. We merchants.
Right.
You know, like
yeah,
you were telling me about the good food you make. You're a national hustler.
Right.
Real talk.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now you just save a little bit of that in gold, and you still you'd be up. So now when this dollar crashed, and all the financial gurus are saying that an ounce of gold might go up to $50,000 an ounce. So guess what? That's going to happen to the grams that you got in your portfolio. If you got in your safe, you got wherever you keep your gold at. It's going to make your gold increase tremendously. So now you may be an overnight millionaire. You may be an overnight 100,000 there. You see what I'm saying? From just a little couple grams that you got.
So this is what the Muslim got to prepare for. We got to stop playing. We got to start paying ourselves first and go. I mean, you see, when we go out to dinner, we spend $200-$300 at a Kufar restaurant.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? When I came home, I seen the sisters, they waiting for the bus with MCM bags. How you waiting for a bag? Why you waiting for the bus with an $800 bag? That's a hoopty. That's a squatter. I don't know what you understand. You got proud of this and proud of that and Gucci this and Fendi that. What part you understand about that? But it lets us know that we spend money where we want to spend money at. We're not spending money with where we need to spend money at, but we don't have the education to understand where and when to spend money. This is not for the Muslims. We have to educate ourselves. That's why it's so important for these phone calls to be, and it's going to be touchy. So the brothers on this call, the sister on this call, don't be offended. Look at me and the sister, and if we make some mistakes, we only human. Correct us. You know what I mean? If you got come from Quran and Sunnah, and if it rub you the wrong way, alhamdulillah, take it. We're not bashing. We trying to do the right thing for the Muslim to make us better as a whole.
No.
You see what I'm saying? And this is what we got to understand, because pure intention. Like, the sister don't got to have the show. The sister doing this show because she want to help the sincere Muslims, man. And that's a blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward her in that. We got other things to do. Don't get that twisted. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We got other things that we can
be
doing.
Yes.
Seriously. You know what I mean? And that's just a fact. People just think that we just do this. No. Like I told you before, it's bigger than money now. You know what I mean? When I start making money with Karabars International, I realized I had a bigger goal. I realized that my story of being in jail 21 years, never having a job, corrupting my community, I knew I had a job to do, because I know it's so many brothers and sisters coming home from prison that don't know which way to go. You know what I mean? So $500 a week to them is a blessing. You see what I'm saying? It can keep them away from going committing crime again. It can keep them away from going in the banks. It can keep them away from doing things that they don't want to do. Prostitution, sisters going to being strippers and all type of stuff. This is stuff that got to be talked about. You see what I'm saying? This stuff that's real reality.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we don't want to face it, but we see it. And then when you see the sister stripping, you be like, shh. Staff law. That ain't even a word, but that's how we are. Staff law. She out of pocket. Come on, man. You know what I mean? Seriously. But we quick to point the finger, but we not quick to help the solution. Right now, this conversation is about a solution. And that's what I love about Karabars International. We're talking about a solution to the problem. The problem is we need financial stability. I got the solution. I mean telling you right now on this phone, you contact Kadira, you contact me, we will show you a solution that you can make money. Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. I tell people the biggest scam in the world, Kadira. And my mom, she retired from working for the government. Just the biggest scam in the world. You work 40 hours a week for 40 years to retire for 40% of your check. That's the biggest scam in the world.
Yep.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yep.
My mind works.
Absolutely.
40 hours a week, 40 years, and retire, and they only give her 40% of the check that she was making? That's a scam.
Absolutely.
She can't even live off that. I brought my mom in the Karabars because she couldn't survive off of what she was getting from her retirement.
Right.
She couldn't live off of that. I said, Mom, you won't get
like
in Karabars International.
No, I was going to say, the main thing with retiring, by the time I'm trying to retire, it ain't going to be no Social Security. You ain't going to have nothing.
Oh,
they already
what?
Done away with where they give you a
Man,
part of your
you
pension.
You see what Obama
said? Strictly, it's only 401Ks, and then you got to contribute to that. It's crazy. It's crazy. Got to pay attention
Man,
to this
listen.
Stuff, though.
And this is what I'm saying, Kadira. We have to move rapidly. You see what I'm saying, sis? We got to move rapidly with this. And that's why I love vehicles that you got. You got a vehicle with this show that has to be taken advantage of. And if you rub some shoulders the wrong way, alhamdulillah. You ruffle some feathers, alhamdulillah. Keep your intentions pure. You see what I'm saying? Know
right.
that you do it feasibly, law. You make mistakes, alhamdulillah. We all human. But keep on doing what you're doing. Don't let nobody deter you, because your goal is to please Allah spend the hour. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We got to lock arms, man. And I tell people, man, it's easy to point fingers. It's easy. Oh, the sister out of pocket, the brother out of pocket. It's easy. Give me a solution.
Yeah.
No, for real. I argue. Man, give me a solution. You're talking all this. You all right, young Sheikh. What you going to do to help me? What you going to do to help the Muslims? What are you doing besides just pointing people faults out? No, we gotta be have sincere advice for each other. If you ain't got a solution, be quiet. I know the sins I'm committing. Make dua for me and help me get on the right course. That's what the believers do. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Muslims do. We help each other. We friends and providers and protectors of one another. You understand what I'm saying? This is what we do as Muslims. So I'm giving sincere advice to everybody on this call, man. Let's be sincere when we come to our actions and try to help each other. Because I'm telling you right now, like I told you just now, we got a solution to help the Muslims by saving in gold, and this is what we can do. I ain't leaving you tongue tied, did I?
No, not at all.
Let me talk about Carabars International for a little bit. This is about Carabars International. It's an e-commerce company with affiliate program, meaning you could do two or one thing. Meaning you could be a customer, open a free gold savings account, save your money in gold, and that's all you have to do. Or you can take the affiliate approach and take it as a business. You gotta get purchase a one-time package. You can get a bronze package, a silver package, a gold package, or a VIP package, one-time fee. Now, when you get these packages, that's percentage that you can get in, that you'll get from other people signing up under you. And this is how I was telling you about how we can sign up under the Masjid and help the Masjid. Like right now, today, I got about 385 people in my organization. So every time each of those people saving gold is benefiting me. And then not only benefiting me, when I bring people in my organization, it's benefiting the last person that just came to my organization because everybody helped each other as a team. This is how us, because nobody is targeting our community. Let me tell y'all, well, everybody got $57. I don't care if you got to save $5 a week to save a gram of gold. Because when the gold comes to $50,000 an ounce, that means a gram may be over $1,000 a gram. So now, what just happened? That little $57 that you spent, it's worth $1,000 now.
Right.
So that's just one of the grams. You see what I'm saying? So when you talk about saving and protecting your wealth for the future, this is what it's about. So Carabars International allows you this opportunity. You can do two things. You can get your gold delivered to you by FedEx, or you can get your gold stored in an offshore account free of charge. I do both. I get some of my gold shipped to me, and alhamdulillah, I keep some of my gold in my offshore account. This is what I'm saying. We have to understand that we got an opportunity. Anybody that needs some links, you can contact me through Facebook. My Embrace Damon Meadows. And my Instagram is Damon Amin Meadows. Or you can contact me straight through the phone, which my phone number is 404-493-2709. Again, my cell number is 404-493-2709. I guess anything I stated today about facts, about the IMF, about Goldman Sachs, the gold ATM machine, I don't think I talked about that one, but we can. I can send you any links and any links about the company Carabars International so you can do your own due diligence. This company is solid. You see what I'm saying? This company is solid. And what I wanted to mention about the gold ATM machines, they got gold ATM machines in Florida, in Vegas, and in New York. I literally, on my Instagram, I went to the one in New York because I wanted to see it. Meaning you can put your money in this machine, it's going to give you gold bars. Now, the question is,
wow.
Think about this. What is ATM machines for? That means they created ATM machines for a reason, that you need gold, cash immediately, right?
Right.
Why do they got gold ATM? Why would I need gold immediately? That's the question that should be going through everybody's head right now. Because they're preparing. Remember I told you earlier, Kadir, it already started, babe. It already started.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Because, listen, I was on a plane, and I was talking to these dudes, they weren't construction workers, they was developers. So, you know, they were studious gentlemen, Caucasian gentlemen, and they was. I was asking them, you know, what field of business, what line of business are you in? They were like, oh, we're developers, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, how do you protect your wealth? He said, well, you know, I save it in the bank. You know, I said, well, did you ever think about diversifying your portfolio by saving in gold? Because they got gold ATM machines. I started talking about Carabars and that. He's like, they don't have no gold. He tapped his brother next to him. This guy told me they got gold ATM machines.
I quickly went on my Instagram, straight up, right on the plane. I quickly,
right.
We get ready to take off. I said, I hope this plane don't take off, and they tell us we got to put our phones up. I quickly, listen, I went on my Instagram so fast and showed him me in front of the gold ATM machines on 57th Street. He was like, wow, please give me your business card, man. People don't know. You see what I'm saying? And you would think a gentleman like this, of this prestige that he portrayed, you would think that he would know about saving the physical gold. But he had no inclination. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
So
yep.
This is what I mean. Understand that everybody, this information is for everybody to know. Not just us, but my concentration is the Muslim because I love for my brother what I love for myself. So I got a
absolutely.
Chance to help the absolute. We got to save each other first. That's my obligation. Do I talk to other people? Absolutely. But I got an obligation to help the Muslims. And this is what this call is about. This is what I locked in with Kadir about. Because we got an obligation, passion to help the Muslims in all ways, shapes, and forms. Whether it's relationships, whether it's anything, this is the financial part of it. Even though we went up to a million subjects that I hope you call me back on so we can talk about this on another date. You know what I mean? Seriously. Because I love these type of real conversations, for real. It need to be discussed. Because, and I tell people before, because a lot of us don't have examples of healthy marriages. I didn't have no example of a healthy marriage. All I did was read about the Rasulullah and his wives. But I didn't physically have a healthy relationship to literally lead by example. My mother and pop was divorced by the time I became a teenager. You see what I'm saying? My grandmother and grandfather had an unhealthy relationship. So I didn't have that physical of, okay, that's how you treat your wife. That's how you treat your husband. I didn't have that. You see what I'm saying? I grew up in an era where many broads you got, you the man. You see what I'm saying? So all this baggage, baggage came with me that I had, I'm still trying to decipher in my marriage now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we got to get out of that so we can have healthy relationships because we all got baggage. You see what I'm saying? So that baggage helps you understand that you got to look at yourself first before you start looking at other people. And I really humble myself when I start realizing and looking at my own baggage. You see what I'm saying?
True. Right, right.
Yeah. But a lot of times, a lot of things is pride. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I'm sorry. What you going to say?
No, I said absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But we have to understand that we got to get this financial part together. I'm so excited and hoping the Muslims they embark upon it. Because I ain't going to lie, I be kind of jealous when I see these Christians. I mean, they got a movement going on. You know, it's a good jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm jealous it's a good jealousy, meaning I want us to be like that. Because we the best of mankind ever raised up. I want us to be unified like that. Where I'm talking to Kadir, she opened a gold savings account. She got five other sisters. Y'all doing that, and they husbands, they calling me, and we talking about, oh, bro, we're going to have a get together at the mass gym. We're going to talk about this goal, how we're going to help the mass. That's what I want. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to get to a point where we got a Muslim conference going on in Philadelphia and Newark, and I'm talking about all over. You know what I mean? The Muslim saving in gold, and we really benefiting all the way around the board. This is my goal. This is my objective. I pray for this. So it start with one Muslim at a time. Me and you disconnect, and you see how tight we just start linking like this. You see what I'm saying? So hopefully it just starts spilling over, Kadir. We got to be hype about that. You know what I mean? And man,
inshallah.
This thing is so easy. Yeah, inshallah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm just happy and I'm honored to be on your call. You know what I mean? Anytime you need me, sis, contact me. I don't have no problem. I'm for real. I love this. This is what I do. You know what I mean? I love talking to the Muslims. I love trying to help each other and helping myself because the more I talk, the more I hear, the more you know, I listen to you, I look at myself and, okay, she educated me. Okay, I know a little bit. I learn a little bit from every time I have conversations like this. You see what I'm saying? So this is what we do. We each one teach one. This is Islam. You know what I mean? This is the benefit of being a brothers and sisters in Islam. You know what I mean?
This is what it is. I mean, people don't take advantage of opportunities. Like I said, once they see something up and running and things like that, but we all know it takes time to build things. Everything, Rome wasn't built in a day. And right. everything that you want and everything that you want to achieve is not going to happen overnight. You're going to have failures. You're going to fail at things. If you don't fail, then I don't know how you feel like you're going to succeed. You have to fail
at
a lot of things in order
to
be able to move forward and learn from your mistakes, because your mistakes are really what teaches you how to not fail again. You know, you take that one failure, you're like, okay, I know if I do this, then it could lead to this, so I'm not going to do that again. You know what I mean?
Let me give you a great example of that. The Battle of Buddha.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you're talking about where all the great battles. We look at the battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought. We know that the battle that when the Muslim disobeyed Allah. When they disobeyed Allah, we lost the battle. You see what I'm saying? But it was a great learning lesson, because it lets you know when you disobey Allah with all of the consequences. You see what I'm saying? So it was a learning lesson for the Muslims. So this failure, like when you said that, I was thinking about the fight. I was like, wow. And you know, some Muslims got killed. Hamza was killed. A lot of the great Muslims was killed for being disobedient. So we understand this right here, that with trial and tribulation, but it was a great learning experience for us in 2016. We're 15 right now, grade B 16. Look how long this trial in the history of Islam has been lessons for us. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we understand, and that's what I love about it. If people don't know the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, you're never going to learn Islam truth. You got to learn the history and learn how they did things, why they did things, what was accordingly, what's the lesson they learned from it, everything. Because then it'll balance you out. It'll balance us out at every turn, inshallah to Allah. It'll balance us out. So this, I mean, when I say I love this part of Islam, because it humbles you, like, man, I'm tripping on what I'm doing. Look about what happened to them. You see what I'm saying?
It
really humbles you, man. It truly humbles you if you're sincere. You know what I mean? So we got to understand and keep a good heart, man, and understand the whispers of Shaitan is real, because he's going to always go to the negative. Shaitan is always going to go to the negative. He don't want to see us be successful. And this life is definitely not the next life. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, with that being said, man, it's just mashallah that we got a chance to have a format such as this right here. But what I want to do is, I'm going to send you a flyer of my call tomorrow.
Okay.
Did I send it to you, the flyer?
I got that. I got it. Yep.
Please put that on your site, on your Instagram, Facebook, and send it to the Muslims that you know you're in direct contact with, because we can have this type of conversation. And I want you to be my special guest tomorrow. You invited me to your call? I'm inviting you to my call tomorrow, inshallah. You know what I mean?
Inshallah.
So inshallah to Allah, I want you to be my guest tomorrow. And we're going to continue this conversation, and I'm going to let you see the format that I actually go by, so we can get a real strict understanding for those. We went to a lot of different subjects, but tomorrow is going to be slowly about financing and trying to benefit the Muslims through Karabars International. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because we was a little everywhere tonight, and it was some great subjects that need to be talked about. That's why I said, please invite me again on some topics like marriage or whatever we can talk about. Because like you said, some people don't want to take it from a sister.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And that's just real. Some brothers not going to want to take it from a sister. So when some people hear from a Muslim brother who's coming from Quran and Sunnah, inshallah to Allah, they accept it, be more acceptable to them. Or they might not accept that. I don't know. You know what I mean? But inshallah to Allah, we'll help each other stay on course with subjects that need to be talked about, because they definitely need to be talked about, you know?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you for joining. Just before you drop off the call, before we end the call, just give us your information once again, contact information, so we'll know how to, you know, get in contact with you. And I'll put the flyer that you sent me, I'll put that on my page, and inshallah, we'll join the call tomorrow. Everybody's available.
Inshallah ta'ala. Again, on Facebook, you can contact me at Embrace Damon Meadows, Embrace, EBRACE Damon Meadows, DamonMeadows. On Instagram, I'm Damon Amin Meadows. And my cell phone number is 404-493-2709. Again, my number is 404-493-2709. I can send you any information about carrot bars, any information about what I mentioned on the, in the, about the Go ATM machines or whatever you want to, you know, me to send you. Inshallah, I'll be able to send it to you. But I really want to thank you, Kadir, for really having me on your call. And anytime that you want me on there, inshallah, to Allah, I'll be available to you.
Shukran, I appreciate you for joining tonight. Just super low, Kaye. And on that note, we're going to get ready to end the call. Just wanted to let everybody know, you know, if you're trying to get in contact with me, I'm going to promote the brother's information on my page. So I'll have it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. I'll put it on all the pages so that you have the contact information so that you can join the call and be a part of Carrot Bars and, you know, get an idea of what, you know, the business entails and what to look forward to. Because this is something that we need to definitely look forward to because we don't have financial planning. You ask the average African-American, do you have a savings account? And the answer is no. They don't have the funds available to save in a situation. If they lose their job today, they don't have the money to pay their rent for the next 6 months or to pay the utilities for the next 6 months. This is going to give you the chance and the opportunity to change that situation. Also, when we retire, we work, you know, like the brother said, we work all these years for an employer and we get nothing back out of it. All the years of service, we get nothing in return for it. So this is the opportunity not just to better yourself but to better the community. We can use these funds because it's REBA-free to change the situation that's going on here with the Muslims. It's a sad state of affairs. It's a very sad state of affairs with the Muslims here in today's time, and we need to change that. And the only way we can change it is if we want to work together collectively to make it better, to change it. So, inshallah, I'll post that information. If anybody wants to contact me directly or you have questions about anything that was discussed on the call, I can get you the information to Brother Amin so that y'all can discuss this in further detail. But my direct number is 610-836-2120. You can send me a text message because that's a cell phone. You can leave me a voicemail message. You can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. Any questions or concerns you have, you can reach me there. So, again, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to have this opportunity to present this type of information to you so that we can become financially stable. It's not a good thing when you reach a situation and you're left out in the cold and you don't have the ability to take care of your family. This is something that's important. You know, you don't want to have to go out and beg nobody for anything. So we definitely have to take this into consideration as a platform that will elevate us to the next level to be able to better our home and then better our community, so forth and so on. So, again, I thank everyone for joining the call tonight. I appreciate your participation and joining the call. And stay forward, press forward, look forward to bigger and better things coming here on Religion Means Alive. Inshallah, tomorrow also Imam Alfred will be speaking about the Sandra Bland situation. His call is at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I would suggest if anybody can join in or if you need more information on that, just check my pages. I posted the flyer. We're going to talk about how, well, he's going to talk about how that was a distraction for community not to pay attention to that. This is why they, you know, had the whole Miss Universe snafu, create that distraction where no one was implicated or indicted for her murder. This is something that he's going to talk about in great detail. So, inshallah, if you're available tomorrow, join that call. It's the same number, 805-727-7013, and that will be at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I appreciate you all again for joining. I appreciate my guests for joining in and sharing that valuable information with us. Stay tuned for future listenings from Religion Means Alive and your host, Qadira Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and have a great evening.